We're talking about the difference between sin and a mistake in our lives. And we want to remember that every false spirit and every false doctrine will lead away from the Lord. It will lead to the flesh. It'll be a downward road. And it'll lead into sin eventually. If the opposer of righteousness can get a mistake labeled as a sin, or a shortcoming labeled as a sin, or a need to grow somewhat, say in patience or in love or in some little way, if he can label every little thing as a sin, then he can just label everything as a sin. Well, we just sin more or less every day. Everybody does. That's a trick of the enemy, and it's a major trick of the enemy. And there are millions of people today that believe that wholly. And so they believe that because we sin more or less every day, in their words, okay, not mine, because they believe you sin more or less every day, every mistake is a sin, then the big sins, the little sins, the lies, they're all just sins. Folks, that is a grave mistake to believe that. And so I'm thinking tonight about the differences between consciously sinning and maybe a lack of understanding, maybe a mistake, maybe needing more grace, okay? Because we're in this life, and so I'm going to talk real tonight, but I want to talk through the scriptures because there are a lot of examples in the scriptures. Let's turn to Matthew 26 and 69, and like I said to start with, this is not a theological debate about scriptures, but rather, and this is not maybe going to be entirely complete, but I want to give you what the Lord gave me, I felt like. Matthew 26 and 69, and also, this will probably be more than one lesson. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. What did Peter do right there? He lied. Peter told a lie, and he knew he told a lie. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. This time he swore. One place it says he cursed and he swore. And he said, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Do you know that Jesus, if you look in Luke 22, and we're going to be moving very quickly, so you're not going to be able to turn to all these probably. Luke 22 and 31 to 32, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, what was he converted from? He was converted because he fell away, didn't he? He got into a place of fear. And folks, when we get into a place of fear, fear leads to anger. When we get into places where we feel those kind of emotions coming, doesn't the Bible say be angry and sin not? You know, when we're fearful, we don't want to deny the Lord, do we? We don't want to do what the flesh might tell us to do. We don't want to begin telling lies. We don't want to begin cursing and swearing our way out of something. And so tonight, I want to encourage us, this was a clear thing here where Peter sinned. Okay? was Peter saved before this? Well, I'll say this, he was preaching the gospel. The Lord was working miracles with those men. And you know, I believe Peter, of course, was saved. He was forgiven of his sins. Jesus forgave sins back then, didn't he? Even when he was here on the earth. And so we see here where Peter did this. But we want to remember something. Peter found out just where his limitations were. His limitations was that his flesh was not very strong and he couldn't trust in that. Now, I believe he learned something there. But when he was empowered by the Spirit of God, let's remember that Peter came back in the face of these people and he preached the gospel to them with power and authority from heaven. And 3,000 people got saved. So we want to remember that we don't want to brush off things like this. Well, everybody does that once in a while. No, everybody doesn't do that once in a while. That's called sin. The Lord's told us to depart from sin. He's told us that all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And so, is that okay? No, that's not okay. So now let's look at a few other things here. That is in Revelation 21 and 8 where it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now we want to make sure we understand this doesn't say that all the unsaved that are liars. It doesn't say that the saved that are liars are going to be okay. It says all liars. We want to remember that's very critical. So if we feel like that we are saved and we tell lies, we know that we're not going to heaven. We're going to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's what the scriptures tell us. And it's very clear. And this is not the only place that brings that kind of subject out. And so we are not wanting to be hard on people. But folks, we want to be hard on our flesh because we want to go to heaven. Amen. Very important for us to make heaven our home tonight. Now I want to look, we're going to bounce back and forth between different ideas here, okay? Let's go to Acts 23 and verse 1 and look here at a happening that happened to Paul. It says, "And Paul earnestly," Acts 23 and 1, "And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth." You know, that brings a response sometimes, doesn't it? Kind of quickly. "And then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall." Whited wall is another word for hypocrite. Because it's painted over and hiding what's behind it and inside it. "For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, I did not realize what I did here. I did not realize it. I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Do you know this morning, this evening, that we can be caught up in something quickly, we can be caught up in something and not realize. But what Paul did here was exemplary. He turned around and said, "For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Do you know that quickly Paul made that right, didn't he? You know, tonight, we want to remember that we will make mistakes. Paul made mistakes. Paul was a man. The reason I know Paul made mistakes is because we have one of them right here, but he was a man, just like you and me. And so he made mistakes. You know, tonight, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to speak sometimes quicker than we should speak. But we want to make sure of one thing. If we're angry, we don't want to sin with our lips. We don't want to do. Peter was fearful. And so Peter began to sin. He began to be deceitful. He began to lie. He began to curse and swear. And I want to tell you, when you have one element of the flesh that gets loose, other elements are buddies very closely with that one element. And you'll find that the enemy will come and wallop you. So tonight, I think about this situation, and we're going to look at maybe a few other situations in the scripture. What if Paul would have rode right over that and not made that correction? I want to tell you what would have happened. Over time, the Lord would have dealt with Paul a number of times, as I've seen it happen. And if he did not listen and take care of it, the Lord would depart from him. That's where we are with mistakes. That's where we are with things that we do. Folks, it is very critical that we take care of and keep up with our life tonight. Because we're all people and we all make mistakes, don't we? I want to look over at James 1 and 12. James gives us some really good information here about temptation and this kind of thing. And it says here, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, I know this is interweaving a little bit with other areas of Calvinism. This is interweaving what my thoughts are interweaving, I'll say, with other areas that is of a Calvinistic persuasion. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, because when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Now, what if he didn't endure temptation? Would he receive the crown of life? I think it leaves that very clear there, quite clear, that the Lord didn't promise that to those that don't endure. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. You know, there's a time that there is a drawing away of the appetite. There's a time that we feel that pull, don't we? Have you ever felt that pull? Sure you have, and I have too. I want to tell you, there's something about the pull of the flesh. But it says here, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." And I want to look at how to deal with that a little bit. Because, folks, this is critical in this whole study here. So let's look at Genesis, at a real life example of how this happens. Genesis 3 and 1. We've all read this story. Probably all of us hearing this has read this story many times. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now let me ask you something. What was going on here? There was something tempting to Eve here. There was something that looked good to her. And the devil began to sell his wares. And so he said, the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." You're not going to die. And so she began to reason about that. And she began to take that in. And she began to look at that and the promise that the devil had made to her, that they would be wise as gods. That God was only trying to keep them from something really beneficial. And so, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. Do you know tonight, was this a mistake or a sin? Eve did exactly what God told her not to, and she knew it. She did it. She knew she was doing it. She chose to do it, and it was sin. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover every aspect of sin and mistakes, but we can nail some things down. Folks, this was sin. And the Lord told her, you're going to die in the day that you do that. Do you know that still stands for us today? We may be saved. We may be alive. But what should Eve have done here? When this tempter came knocking, what did Jesus do when the tempter came to him? He said, and this was found in Luke 4 and 5 to 8. I'm giving you these scriptures so you can look them up later. Jesus felt tempted too. He felt the drawing on his flesh. He felt that desire. And it says, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. It's the right when the scripture says the devil was a liar from the beginning, doesn't it? Isn't it? He's lying. Do you think he would have given all that to God, to the Lord? Do you think he even had it to give? And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I want to encourage us today, when temptation comes, this is the way to deal with it. Jesus didn't stand there and wrangle back and forth with what God said and carry on a conversation. He simply told the devil, this is what God said. Now get behind me. Do you know there's a big difference in that? And so this was our example. When Eve was drawn away and Satan began to reason with her, there was no get thee behind me, Satan. She decided to believe the devil. And she believed Satan when he said, you shall not surely die. And so tonight, this is a clear example of sin. But I want to talk about another place that the scriptures clearly show us that we're going to need to improve. That means that we're not as much of a light today as the Lord wants us to be tomorrow. Is that okay? He wants us to improve. 2 Peter 3 and 18. And we're going to bounce back and forth here a little. As we said, and so listen to what Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Do you know that if we grow in grace, then we must not have had as nice of a plant yesterday as we have today, right? We're growing. That means that there may have been some lack of understanding, a lack of growth, a lack of depth. I've seen when we're sometimes young, we have a lot of maturing to do on those lines. I remember when I was on a trip, and I was just new among the saints, and I took a trip to Goulds, Florida. Brother Hargrave was down there. And Mark Snell was with us, and Dan, my brother. And we pulled into a station, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning or something, to get gas or ask directions, maybe 2. And there was some guys with long hair there. And I just looked at them with scorn, kind of, and was like, I said something about them. Look at those scumbags. You know what? I never even thought about it. I had growth to do. I didn't know better. I wist not that I said something ill-advised. But I called them scumbags, and I meant it. That's the way I was raised. I just thought that's what they were. You know what Mark Snell, Brother Mark, had been saved from a life of sin and long hair. And he was like, Philip, I can't. He just could not believe I said that. And you know what I woke up to right there? A growth. I woke up to the fact that these men, it took me a while to figure all this out because I didn't understand at first. When he got upset, it was like, that's what they are. You know what? That's called youth, isn't it? We all have growing to do. And so I realized since then, I pray for those kind of guys. There's nothing in me that wants to call them a scumbag. I see them as souls that need the Lord. You know, we wake up, don't we, to things like that. That's called growth, folks. You know what? There's a lot of things we have to grow in the Lord. And so Peter says, grow in grace. You know what? When we first begin and we're raised out in the world or halfway out in the world or whatever, you know what? Sometimes we don't even know what grace means. Sometimes we don't even know what gracefulness means. And we began to talk with people and, well, I gave them, yeah, they needed what I said to them. I told them the truth. Well, it wasn't very nice, was it? You know what? We can say things that are the truth that's not very nice. And we might not even know better. And we wist not what we've done until the Lord comes along, or maybe our wife or somebody else comes along and says, that wasn't very nice. You know what? We wake up, don't we? Yes. And we begin to grow in grace. And so that's a mistake. It was a mistake for me to call those guys what I did. That was wrong. But there was nothing in my heart that meant evil. And so when we look at the difference between mistakes and sins, it becomes sometimes something that, Lord, I don't know where the line is. I don't know what. I'm not trying to live on the line. You know what? We all know what I'm talking about, right? Because we believe in living holy. And so there's times that we have to say, Lord, what about this? Help me here. You know what? The Lord will help us because God wants us to make heaven our home. But what I want to bring out is the clear line that we have in the scripture of Eve that sinned, of those different places where people just didn't do God's will. They just sinned. They just did wrong. They did evil. Peter did evil. He cursed and he swore and he knew better. It was out of fear, but he knew better. Peter did that. I know he was upset. I know that he was scared, but he knew better, didn't he? You know, tonight, the Lord help us to live godly and holy lives. I want to read what Clark says here about this growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, increase in the image and favor of God. You see, when we take into our lives and believe that sin is okay and that we are going to sin and we can't help sinning, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll let your bars down quite a ways. And you won't be careful like you would be because it really doesn't totally matter. It only matters some. And so you say, that's what happens when people, when the path of least resistance, that's the way it goes. Path of least resistance. And so Clark says, increase in the image and favor of God. Every grace and divine influence which ye have received is a seed, a heavenly seed, which if it be watered with the dew of heaven from above, will endlessly increase and multiply itself. He who continues to believe, love, and obey will grow in grace and continually increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as his sacrifice, sanctifier, counselor, preserver, and final savior. The life of a Christian is a growth. He is at first born of God and is a little child, becomes a young man and a father in Christ. Every father was once an infant, and had he not grown, he would never have been a man. Those who content themselves with the grace they received when converted to God are at best in a continual state of infancy. Okay, can you understand? But we find in the order of nature that the infant does not grow and grow daily too is sickly and soon dies. In the order of grace, those who do not grow up into Jesus Christ are sickly and will soon die. Die to all sense and influence of heavenly things. There are many who boast of the grace of their conversion. Persons who were never more than babes and have long since lost even that grace because they did not grow in it. Let him that readeth understand. Do you know emotionalism covers up this kind of thing? Emotionalism takes over and people shout and get all excited. I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see somebody that gets saved and begins to grow in grace and grow in their relationship with the Lord and in their praise to the Lord and the glory of their life, giving praise to the one that makes them who they are. And them knowing it's God. It's all God. I don't want any glory. I don't have any glory coming. It would be a lie to take any glory because it's the Lord. You know, the Lord wants that, doesn't he? Tonight. I want to say a few words following what Clark said. We will need to acknowledge if we have sinned in order to get help. We cannot go on and believe that the Lord forgave past, present, and future sins. That's not true. It's not biblical in any sense, and there are many scriptures that tell us differently. And so when we look at the scriptures, if we have knowingly failed God, we need to acknowledge it in order to get the help we need. Do you know we need to acknowledge if we failed in a shortcoming? Maybe not a sin, an actual transgression, rebellion against God, doing what we know He told us not to. Maybe it's not that. Maybe we're just not as patient as we should be. Now, if you label all those little things as sins, it's a big mistake. That's what Satan wants to happen. The Lord wants us to know you're going to grow in grace. You're going to be sweeter, hopefully, a lot sweeter 20 years down the line than when you start. You're going to react to things differently. You're going to be more patient with people. You're going to be more careful about things, just naturally. And you're going to have a growth that's going to put some solidness behind you and underneath you. And so, but if we slip with our tongue and we're a little sharp, do you know it's important for us to say, honey, I shouldn't have said that way. That wasn't nice. I shouldn't have said that. Do you know, folks, we have to do that. I just want to encourage us. We have to do that tonight. If we don't, this is what will happen, and I have seen it happen this way. Somebody goes on, and they don't correct those things, and they don't apologize, and they don't get help and grow in grace from the Lord. And do you know what happens by and by? The devil begins to discourage you because you've never overcome. And God's dealt with you again and again. And I will tell you, after a while, it will be such a weight dragging on you that it will drag you down. And you'll lose what you had. So it's very important for us. It's very important for our witness to others, to the world, to our children. It's very important for them to see us in life apologizing when we need to. If we feel like, well, I don't sin. Folks, I'm not telling you everything is sin. But if we make a mistake, it's really good to stop and say, I made a mistake. Do you know that builds confidence in children? Builds confidence in brethren. I can't think that when Paul said, I wist not, brethren, I'm sorry. I think that kind of made things, he's real. He means what he's doing. Do you know tonight the Lord wants us to acknowledge that we might be saved? That we might be saved. Not that we've sinned, but I will tell you, it'll take us on a road that we won't want to be on. You know, we might just get wrapped up in too much foolish, light talking. I want to tell you, we can get to a place there pretty easily, and then things a lot of times gets a little slanted. They're not. Somebody's in the mix, and something gets turned, and it's not quite what it ought to be. The Lord wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to learn from past conversations. Lord, help me to be a little more careful with my speech, with the things that I say. Help me to be have a little more gravity in what I say, that I can build people up, and that we can, maybe we could have had prayer together, but sure not in the context we were talking last night. You know, when it's like that, and I'm just bringing up a scenario, but when it's in that context, we realize the grace of God is not working to its full. And so let's let the Lord teach us. If we fail to face these needs and grow in grace, we won't be heeding the voice of the Lord, and we will find ourselves failing of the grace of God. Did you know that? And then it begins to get really serious. Where am I? Lord, I'm surprised. You know, folks, we have to get this flesh taken care of. Don't make any provision for the flesh. When we think it doesn't really matter so much whether I've sinned or not, it matters, folks, it matters. Don't let the flesh get away. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't make any kind of excuse for the flesh. Bear it up. I wist not. I'm sorry. You know what? That takes care of things with God, too. Remember, the scriptures tell us, Hebrews 12 and 14. I want to bring this kind of illustrates what we're talking about here. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Folks, let's remember that. It doesn't say the elect's going to see the Lord without holiness. Some, you're going to sin more or less every day, but if you're the elect, you're going to see the Lord. No, it says without holiness, there isn't any man going to see the Lord. But it says looking diligently. That means we have to be kind of careful about it. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I want to tell you, when that root starts forming, we know it. We know it. It's the time for us to dig down and get that root out, folks. It'll cause us trouble. And he says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Do you know when we come to the judgment, we can't be defiled. We can't have a spot on our garment. Did you know that's scriptural? We have a song that says, without spot and blameless. It's rested on scripture that tells us that we can't have a spot. In fact, that's in 2 Peter 3 and 14. And it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent, folks, that we might be found in peace, just like it told us here to be diligent about not failing here, lest any man fail of the grace of God. When we fail of the grace of God and we become defiled, that's a process. we begin to feel the onset of the enemy. Now, this is where something begins to happen. We begin to say things. That may be a mistake. And don't think the Lord's not going to prick our hearts. It's important for us to stop there. This is the difference between sin and a mistake. Somebody, we can begin to say things, and you know what? The Lord will begin to talk to us. Don't talk like that. You know what? If we heed that, we'll save our souls. If we don't, there will begin to be a root that grows within our heart, a bitterness. And then we can justify most anything. Do you know that is the difference? See, then that becomes sinful. It defiles us. It puts a spot on our white garment. And when we get up to the judgment gate, Jesus is going to say, "What's this spot here on your garment?" We have to be without spot and blameless when it comes to sin. We're going to have faults, but the time to take care of them is when we can. When the Lord tells us, "You spoke inadvisedly there. You shouldn't have said that. You spoke too quick. You said too much. You let too much. You see all that passion coming out? You need to get down and pray about that." You know, we've all been there probably, or many of us. We've been there, haven't we? We've had to recognize and say to ourselves, "I need help. Lord, I need your help." And so this evening, let's ask that help from God. Don't let that turn into sin. What is the difference between a mistake? Right there. I got too carried away. And sin, I let it grow. And I passed up all the dealings, all the times when the Lord said, "Stop, stop, hey, stop, stop." And he puts a donkey in our way. Or we're on a donkey maybe. And with Balaam, he put an angel in his way. But Balaam couldn't see it. But the donkey did. And Balaam just got mad. He just got frustrated. God tries to stop us. He tries to help us. Folks, there is a big difference between mistakes, between needing to grow, and sin. I know we're out of time, and I know we're just started. Mind the pricks. Mind the pricks, Sister Janine says. So this is what the Lord wants us to do. Let's mind the pricks. You know, let's read two more places here. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. There could hardly be anything more clear in the Scriptures than the doctrine of sin. Paul wrote here saying, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, I want us to take that to heart, folks. Let's take it way down deep. Know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Things going on every day in the name of religion even around. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. Notice that he says this in past tense. But such were some of you. Some of you were that way. Paul could say, I had people put to death. I had people brought in. I did all kinds of, Paul had all kinds of things he could say. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We have to take care of this washing. Sin is when we know to do right and we do it not. We know we shouldn't do wrong, and we do it anyway. Folks, it's a rebellion against God. It's a standing up against the very things that He's told us not to do. And so when we're in life, I can't give you a book that will tell you every detail of everything. We just have to walk humbly and carefully before the Lord our God and ask Him, Lord, purge my heart and keep me clean. Lord, make me what You want me to be. And when the Lord deals with me about something, I'm very wary of not hearing that. I want to know, Lord, okay, You're dealing with me about this. I don't want Him to not deal with me about it, because I'll pay a price for that. And then Revelation 7 and 13 to 14. He says here, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, excuse me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes." Folks, they're washed. They're white robes, not to be dirty anymore, not to have one spot of sin on them before God. And so we have to walk carefully before the Lord and ask the Lord to help us in our life and not live carelessly. We thank the Lord tonight that He has delivered us from great troubles in this life. Sin brings great troubles. The flesh, if left unchecked, will fall into sin. And so when we see the needs, let's take care of those. Those are, when we see mistakes, and maybe next time I'll read this, don't have to, soon enough we'll probably follow this up with at least one more study, because I'm not nearly done. I had a bunch more scriptures to use. But you remember when the disciples were trying to argue about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? Isn't that a no-brainer? Why are you doing that? But to them, Jesus was fixing to set up a kingdom. And I can see Peter saying, hey, I'm going to be on His right hand. And I can see Peter saying that. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Folks, I'm the king of all the universe. And yet I'm one that serves. Now why are you doing this? He didn't condemn them. That was a great mistake for them to think that way. It would lead them in a very wrong direction. And so they had to learn. And Jesus was patient with them, teaching them the good ways of God. So tonight, let's learn the good ways of the Lord. And let's learn. I know the devil wants to get on you. He wants to say every step you take is something wrong. Folks, we have to fight through some of those accusations and things. Satan is a tempter. He's an accuser of the brethren. He wants to discourage you. And we have to work through these things and learn of God. Learn better. And not let Him torment us. So, so the Lord help each one of us tonight. I trust your heart is encouraged and tender to the Lord, and allowing Him to work without being under some kind of great accusation, because He wants to accuse every word that you say. He would like to do that. But let's remember that God's not like that. And God's not wanting to accuse you. He's wanting to help you and me. He's wanting us to grow in grace and in the graces that make life pleasant. When we learn to speak to one another more gently and more softly, when we learn the ways of the Lord, the dividends are enormous. The dividends are great in our relationships with other people. So the Lord help us today to learn, to humble ourselves, to seek Him out. You pray for me tonight.